Avos Perek Hey, Mishnah Yutes 519, some Mishnah says 522. Let me read you this whole Mishnah first so you see the scope of it. It says, Kol Mishiyesh Biyado Shlosh Devarim Halalu, anybody who has the following three traits, Mitalmidav Shel Avram Avinu, is considered to be one of the disciples of Avraham, our father. Ushlosh Devarim Acherim, and the three opposite traits, Mitalmidav Shel Bilam HaRasha, is considered to be a student, a disciple of the wicked Bilam. What are they? Ayin Tova, a good eye, Veruach Nemucha, a low spirit, Benefesh Shefela, a restrained nature, Mitalmidav Shel Avram Avinu, those people are considered to be students of Avram. Ayin Ra, Veruach Gavoa, Benefesh Rechava, these are the opposite traits, so an evil eye, a haughty spirit, and sort of an indulgent nature, Mitalmidav Shel Bilam HaRasha, they are considered to be from the students of Bilam HaRasha. Ma bein talmidav shel Avram Avinu l'talmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. What is the difference, practically speaking, the outcome of these two, I'll call them life choices, approaches to living? Talmidav shel Avram Avinu ochlin b'olam hazeh v'nochlin b'olam haba. The students of Avraham, they eat, they benefit in this world, and they inherit the world to come. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, l'hanchil ohava yesh. I have what to bequeath to those who I love. V'otroseim amaleh, and I'll fill up their storehouses. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. That's referring to Avram. Aval tamidav shel Bilam HaRasha, yarshin gehenem v'yordan lever shachas. But those who are the students of Bilam HaRasha, they inherit gehenem. That would mean in this world they're going to suffer, because yordan lever shachas, descending to the well of destruction, that would be in the hereafter. Shneamar, the pasuk says, this is a pasuk from Tehillim, va'ata Elohim toridim lever shachas, and you, Hashem, should make them descend into the well of destruction. Anshei damim umirma lo yechatsu yameim, men of blood and deceit, they won't fulfill half their days. Va'ani evtach bach, and I trust in you. That's the scope of the Mishnah. Now let's discuss a few important things. Actually, this Mishnah is very important, I think. First of all, question. Why does the Mishnah start out by sort of framing it by saying, we're going to have three? Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosh devarim halalu mitalmid mishel Avram Avinu. Why does it do that? Why doesn't it just say, if you have these three traits like Avram and those two traits, why doesn't it just, you know, cut to the chase? So the answer is that the Mishnah is telling you that Avram, of course, had many virtues and Bilam had many vices. But if you're interested in emulating his ways and walking his footsteps and sort of leaving an imprint on this world the way Avram did, etc., so then there's three particular traits you should be focusing on, and these are the three. And if you do those three, you're considered to be one of his students, and if not, not. Now, that's very important. So it's telling you in terms of your efforts to cultivate good midos, this is where you should focus. Second of all, what's with mitalmidav? It's considered to be like from the disciples or students of. So I think what this is telling you is that all of these are personality traits, it seems, to have, you know, to have an ayin tova, to look a positive outlook towards what you have, ruach nemucha, lowly spirit, not being arrogant, nefech shefela, some kind of restrained nature. So I think this is your nature. This is how you're born, and so you can't change those things. It's your personality, which sort of endures over the course of your life. So the Mishnah here is saying, well, you have to focus on transforming yourself in these ways, in which case you've learned how to behave like Avram. And the point is that it's not how you're born. Being born this way wouldn't make you a disciple or student of Avraham. It's that you focus on these areas of your life and you endeavor to change them and change your personality as much as you can, your midos, how they're expressed, in these three ways. And by doing so, you are subscribing to a lifestyle and a life and a world outlook of Avram Avinu or of Bilam HaRasha. So these things can be learned. And the point of our mission is, like the implicit point of our mission is, make an effort to cultivate these traits. Now, these three things, Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemocha, and Nefesh Shefela, are what the pshat of these three things are. In total, there's pretty much consensus in the Mefarshim, okay? But what each of the terms mean is a little bit, they're pointing in different directions. In other words, which is which? Because Ayin Tova, which means a good eye, means essentially being happy with what you have, according to Bartura. Ruach Nemocha, low spirit, and Nefesh Shefela, I don't know, a low spirit, they're really synonymous. A ruach is your higher spirit, your nefesh is called your lower spirit, if you will, and nemucha means low, shefela means lowly. So the point is that they're synonymous. So therefore, I'll explain according to Bar Tanura, there are different rishonim who point in different directions, like which of these three traits are intended by which of these three expressions, but in taken in total, there is pretty much consensus. So the first is Ayin Tova. Ayin Tova, according to Bar Torah, means that you look at what you have with a positive eye, meaning you're happy with your lot, you're happy with your stuff, okay? And that would be like Avram Avinu, of course, because Avram Avinu, we see he didn't, when he was offered by the king of Sodom, you know, you can have the spoils of war. He said, I'm not interested in that. I'm not taking one shoelace of your stuff. You can have it all. I'm not interested. And that brings a person to sort of look kindly onto others. He doesn't feel he needs stuff, more stuff. So therefore, he's not jealous. He's not a competition. He's not begrudging other people. So you see, Avram Avinu, he offers, he gives Melchizedek a tenth of all his wealth. And he negotiates with Ephron. He pays a 400 shkolim to get the burial plot. So you see that Avram Avinu has a sort of this attitude. His attitude is, who can I help and share with? I'm not short of anything. And therefore, the Yesh Li Ruav approach of Yaakov Avinu later on. So that's the idea. Avram is ready to give anyone anything. He stands because he feels he's already blessed. And therefore, he is like overflowing blessing for others. That's what you want. Ayin Tova. Okay? It is a question again. Ayin Tova, is it you look kindly to other people? Because, which is cause, which is effect. But the point is, the bottom line is, you look at the stuff you have and you're satisfied, basically, and therefore, you naturally are happy for other people's success, material and spiritual, as well, because you're not feeling sort of in competition and you're short. Second of all, you have Ruach Nemucha. Now, the way that the Bar Torah understands Ruach Nemucha, this is Ruach is your spirit, meaning you're arrogant. So Ruach Nemucha means you have a low spirit, meaning you're exceedingly humble. And Avram Avinu is indeed a paragon of humility. He famously says, Va'anochi afar ve'efer. I am dust and ash. Dust meaning it's like sort of, there's not much value to dust. No one really wants dust. You're not going to pay for a lot for dust. And ash means someone who's already like lost his productivity, right? Like once you've burned the logs and they're just ashes, now you can't use them again. So meaning that my I'm not worth much and my output's not worth much, says Avram Avinu. He extreme humility. And similarly, when he sees the angels passing by, the three men passing by, he calls himself an Eved. Al na ta'avor me'al avadecha, don't pass by your servant, right? Similarly, when he's talking about negotiating the burial plot for Sarah, so really Avram is the richest person around. They acknowledge he's the richest person around, he's rich and powerful, and Hashem has promised the land to him, for goodness sakes, and nevertheless, he says, ger v'toshev anochi imachem, I'm just passing through, I'm a sojourner here. Again, so Avram's not pulling rank, Avram is humble. And third of all, nefesh shefela. So here the Bar Torah understand it means that he is someone of limited physical appetites. Okay? So the classic place where this is pointed out to is when he talks about his own wife. He says, Hina na yadati ki isha yifas mara'at. Now I know. He got a glimpse of his wife later on in life when they're crossing on their way to Mitzrayim. He says, oh my goodness, I see how beautiful you are. Meaning until then, he sort of hadn't indulged even looking how beautiful his wife was. So you see, he was like so minimal in his desire for stuff, okay, and physical gratification, okay? Now, that's what we're advocating for here. The Mishnah is saying that a person should learn to be happy with his lot. He should not have extreme expectations of he's entitled to things. That's the Ruach Nemucha. He should restrain his appetite. He shouldn't be constantly indulging his physical appetites. So that's where we're headed. Those are from the Talmud of Avraham Avinu. On the other side, Ayin Ra'a, Ruach Gavoa, V'Nefesh Rechava, those are Metalmud of Shel Bilma Rasha. So Ayin Ra'a here means that you have like a look with a negative eye towards your own stuff. It's never enough. And therefore, Bilam Rasha, of course, is talking about immediately Balak, Maloy, Besa, Kesev, Azav, all the gold and silver in the world. So he's looking for stuff, He looks... he's jealous, Visa Bilam es Eina Vyaris Yisrael Shochen le Shvatav. He sees like how they're sitting in their encampments amongst their tribes, with insecurity and happiness, and he's jealous of them. You see, this is the Ayin Ra, you're begrudging other people. You want more for your stuff, for yourself, and therefore you begrudge, or question what's cause and effect, but you essentially that either leads to or causes or the cause of, you're begrudging other people of their material well-being, their happiness, so you're jealous for the people, and so on. Then you have Ruach Gavoa, so here the Bar Torah learns that means arrogance. So first of all, Bilam is the one who essentially wants more mechubad, more honorable people to come, beg him to come from Balak and help. Similarly, he says, Shemeya Imre Kel V'Yodea Das Elyon, I'm the kind of guy who I know the thoughts of God. Very arrogant, obviously. And he's a Nefesh Rechava. Bilam, he had this perverse idea to get the Benos Midian to be mafka themselves, to make themselves available to the Jewish man to sin. Like, what a depraved idea. Chazal talk about how even he had a relationship with his donkey and so on. So you see, he is a person of tremendous physical appetite. So this is what the Mishnah is advising you to do and not to do. And it says, what are the consequences? If you heed Chazal's advice and you become like a Talmid of Avraham Avinu, or Bilam Rosh for that matter, God forbid, so what's the difference in terms of your destination? So the Mishnah says, Ma bein Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, the Talmidav shel Bilam Rosh, Talmidav shel Avraham Avinu, ochlin ba'olam hazeh, v'nochlin ba'olam haba. Those who follow in the path of Avram and learn his ways, they both enjoy this world and inherit the next world. The point is not just that you're suffering this world and you're going to get repaid the next world. To the contrary, by appreciating what you have and not having unreasonable, unfair, bloated expectations of what you should be deserving and getting, and not indulging your appetite all the time, so you'll have a better olam hazeh, and you'll inherit olam haba, because you won't feel in competition and jealousy to bring you to do all sorts of averas and cutting corners and stuff. They make all sorts of moral compromises that people do when they're sort of trying to get more than what they think they're going to always get. So they sort of cheat and steal and push and connive and mislead, etc. Aval Talmid of Bilam HaRasha, Yorshin Gehenim V'Yorin Lever Shachas, those who are the students of Bilam, they Yorshin Gehenim, which in this case, since we're bringing a proof text that it's in this world versus the next world, so that would be this world they suffer, internally, never enough, more, more, more. V'Yorin Lever Shachas, and in the end, their lust for more and their arrogance and their dissatisfaction with life leads them to do all sorts of bad things, which costs them their olam haba, God forbid, descending to the well of destruction. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, "Vatel ukim toridin lever shachas." David Melech talking about bringing these bad people down to the pit of destruction. Anshe damim, men of blood, umirma, and of deceit. Lo yechetsu yameim, they won't live out half their life. Vani evtach bach, but I trust in you, says David. So here, Bilam HaRasha, he's considered an ish damim, a man of blood, because he caused 24,000 Jews to die in that Magefa in the wake of the Midian plot there that he instigated. And of course, he's a ish mirma. He's deceitful every way, step of the way. And therefore, lo yechetsu yameim, he doesn't live half his life. Chazal understand that a person's life expectancy should be expected to be 70 years. That's a pasuk. And so less than half would be less than 35. And indeed, there's a pasuk in Divrei Yom suggests Bilam made it to 33. So there you go. He didn't live out half his life as well. So that's the point of our mission. The takeaway is that, and it's implicit here, but the point is you can train yourself to be like the students of Avraham Avinu. And the challenge is that it's what's called the hedonic treadmill or hedonic cycle. The idea is that a person, essentially every person, reverts back to sort of a stable level of happiness. And therefore, if he's seeking to get more, to live this happiness, so he gets more, he chases more, so for a brief time, he does feel happy, but then it reverts back. So ultimately, what happens was, all the effort he made to get this stuff didn't help him anyways, he's still happy as he always was, or not happy as he always was, and he may have, in the meantime, like that lifestyle creep might make it that he has to work harder and pay more, and seek after ever greater, thrills and kicks, because like the bar has been raised. And that's sort of like this puts him into a trap. So how do you do it? How do you train yourself? Practical steps to train yourself to be like the Talmud of Avraham Avinu, being happy that you have, not having unreasonable expectations, not having excess physical appetites. So the first thing you can do is to practice gratitude deliberately. Okay? Rav Noach Weinberg was a big fan of this. He used to say that every person should keep a gratitude journal. Every night you write down two things that you're grateful to Hashem for. One of them is a physical thing and one is a non-physical thing. It's a great exercise. I've done it before at length. It doesn't take hardly any time. And actually, after you get like a month into it, so you really have to start thinking much longer and harder to figure out another thing that you appreciate. And that is so kedai. And it really helps a person appreciate what he has, bring a person to have an eye in Tova, towards his own things, and really, in fact, it does also remediate the issue of the Nefesh Rechava to a good degree as well. A second way you could do it, if you don't want to do the journal, which I think you should, is, you should try it, is verbalizing your gratitude for what Hashem has blessed you with. And the truth is that you don't have to even go too far. If you use the tools that Chazal put in place in terms of the Jewish daily cycle, you get a lot of the way there, because every morning you're waking up, you're thanking Hashem for the Hanos and the Sech Vivina. That means there's sentience in the existence, right? That there's consciousness in the world. Even a rooster is conscious, and your heart is conscious, and that you should be a conscious, the light should be on upstairs, is the greatest gift of all, as opposed to just, you're not awake and alive and aware. And then you talk about, not an eved, you have freedom. Of course, your personal freedom is, invaluable, second to nothing. And that your pekuech ivrim, you can see, your eyesight, what's that worth to you, of course. So you take time to appreciate that you have clothing and freedom of movement. And so these things get a person to appreciate their lives. And believe me, the marginal benefit you get of whatever you're aspiring for next in life, compared to your freedom and your ability to see and your ability to think, is, it just pales in comparison. So that's number one, practicing deliberate gratitude. Number two is you should pursue meaningful goals. If you're chasing things that don't align with your values, and if you haven't thought through what your values are and what you want, or you're not contributing to something bigger than yourself, so then, you need always another kick, and it becomes more and more difficult. So if you're performing meaningful goals that keeps you invested for the longer haul, you get a more long-lasting satisfaction. Number three, focus on experiences, not possessions. If you're going to go and you have aspirations, you want to suck the air out of life, so God bless you, go right ahead and do it. But if you're focused on stuff, so the problem is, I talked about this hedonic treadmill, as you get the joy of having your new shiny toy, it only lasts so long before you're bored of the toy that you have. If you invest in experiences, so that really has a couple added values in terms of you're breaking the hedonic cycle. First of all, when you do experiences, engender memories, and when you remember things, so you can enjoy them again and again. If you just have a thing that you've bought, so after you have it, you have a new dress and a new house, a new car, but it becomes just the old dress, the old house, the old car, not too long afterwards. But if you have experiences, so that engenders memories, you can go back to again and again and not have to chase them again. You can reappreciate, and when you go back a second time in your mind, you enjoy it as much oftentimes or even more than when you were actually there in the first place. Second of all, experiences oftentimes will typically will involve also social connections. So you have this added advantage of you having a relationship with someone that you did that thing with. And that's super important, and brings me to sort of like the next point I want to make, which is, in general, cultivating relationships. As opposed to stuff, which is, you have to chase it to enjoy it, and you have to make an effort, so to speak, to get the stuff. A relationship sort of gives again and again and again on an ongoing basis. You don't need to have more friends and better friends. Once you have a good friend, you have a good friend, as opposed to you have to chase new food and better food and fancier food if that's what you're chasing after, if it's stuff that you're chasing. Finally, you should set realistic expectations. We live in a time, people are watching their phones and people are, so much being sold to us about how everyone's having a good time except for you. And that, of course, is a terrible, that's the bait which sets you into the hedonic trap. So understand, we talked, Chazal say, the Pasuk says, that a person is created to work. This is your opportunity to life, to make your life a meaningful life. And therefore, if you focus on that good, there's a time and a place for enjoyment. But that's not what you're here to do. What you're here to do is to achieve and make the use of the one life you have. So if you're focused on the expectations for the gratification to be sort of just a cherry on top, and sort of just give you more energy to keep going to what you're really chasing after, and not having the unreal expectation that life is about to having fun, entertainment, never being bored for a second, so then you have more realistic approach to your life, and therefore you'll be able to become like the Talmid of Avraham Avinu, to really have this notion of an Ayin Tova, seeing your life as good and appreciating what you have, and having that Ruach Nemocha, not having an over-inflated idea of what you should be having, and the nefesh shefela, that you have sort of an appetite which is moderated and curbed and not ever expanding, chasing more and more and more.